Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I had a conversation with a student at YU the other day, and this fellow was complaining to me. Complaining is maybe not the nicest word, but he was discussing with me the frustration that I think we all sometimes feel when it comes to feeling like we're growing in our Avodas Hashem. I want to emphasize that word feeling, because I think that's a big part of the problem. And I want to learn together today, in these days between Purim and Pesach, a lesson that I think has connections to Purim, connections to Pesach, and connections to our Parsha. What does it mean? How do we assess, how do we figure out if we're continuing to grow in our connection to Hashem, in our connection to Torah, our connection to mitzvos? It's not always something that's so easily quantifiable. So let's start with the Parsha. It was a very honest question, it was a good conversation, and it led me to want to share this year with you. We'll start with the Parsha. The Torah describes, when it talks about the animals you're allowed to eat, and the birds you're allowed to eat, and the fish you're allowed to eat or not eat, the Torah in Perek Yud Aleph of Parsha Shmini tells us about Kol Hasheretz Hashoretz Al Ha'aretz. Those creatures, every creeping creature that creeps upon the ground. And the Torah has a whole series of psukim. It's already spoken about animals and birds and fish. But then the Torah says you need to watch out for bugs. You got to check your lettuce, got to check your strawberries. Maybe just avoid raspberries completely if you want to play it safe. Hey, watch out, be careful. Kol Sheretz Hashoretz Al Ha'aretz Sheketzu. It's abominable. You need to be very careful. Lo ye'achel, do not eat this. And the psukim go on and they describe kol holech al gachon, which Rashi says refers to snakes. V'chol holech al arba corresponds to worms and scorpions, things which most of us probably have no desire to eat. Ad kol marbe raglayim, centipedes. Be very careful. These things create a tremendous tumah in your life. And then remarkably, in the third line, pasuk mem dalid ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because I am Hashem your God, and Hashem says, I am holy and I want you to be holy. You need to live a holy life. If you eat these things, you're going to lose your holiness. It's going to cause a tremendous tumah. It's going to cause some type of spiritual blockage. And the psukim conclude, Pasuk mem hay, ki ani Hashem hamala eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim, liyos lachem le'elokim. I took you out of Mitzrayim to be your God, and as the Gemara explains in one place, that it would be worthwhile to leave Egypt just to internalize this halacha. Strange thing to say. As if Kol HaTorah Kula is like, you know, such an emphasis. I took you out of Mitzrayim and I became your God and I want you to live a holy life. And it all really comes down to this. It could be this is really the culmination of all of the psukim about keeping kosher. But there's this tremendous emphasis over here that if you want to be, Rashi has very strong language. Rashi says if you want to be with Hashem in the next world, then you need to be Hashem. You need to be with Hashem in terms of these halachos in this world. V'yisem kadoshim ki kadosh ani. Very interesting. I want to think about this sheretz for a moment and point out what appears to be a paradox. You know, this Shabbos we're also going to read Parshas Parah. Parah Aduma is the ultimate religious paradox. It's Tameh and Tara all woven together. I want to point out what seems to be a very interesting paradox when it comes to shratzim. Rashi comments in the second source, what is a sheretz? The word literally means to creep or to crawl. The ein kare sheretz ele davar namuch. A sheretz, by definition, is a small creature, kitzar raglayim, with little legs, she'eino nira ela karochesh vinad. It's always creeping. The way that it moves is very distinct. The way that these little bugs, they crawl around, is very distinct. They have small legs, they creep around, and Unkele similarly translates kol sheretz ha-shoretz as kol richasha derachish. Rachash means to creep or to crawl. Creepy, crawly creatures. But what's so interesting about that translation is that it actually sounds almost the opposite of the word sheretz. The Kozhnitzer Magid, in his Sefer Avodas Yisrael, one of the great works of Chassidus, he points out that rachash and sheretz are almost opposites. Rachash, Rashi just defined for us as what? As creeping, as crawling, as having small legs, a small little creature. And yet the word sheretz, as the word itself sounds like sheratz, that it runs, that it moves very quickly. And the truth is the nature of these small little bugs is sometimes that they do move very quickly. And at the same time, they're being described as crawling. that's hardly moving at all. And that leads to the most awesome explanation of the Kajitzer Magid. The Kajitzer Magid, the Avodas Yisrael, writes in source number 4, I don't understand, is it rachash, is it crawling, the way that we would imagine a baby crawling on the floor, not moving very quickly at all, or sheret, is it running? Is it moving quickly, is it moving slowly? How do we assess the movements of this creature? So he gives a mashal. He says, imagine a mother walking with her child. And the mother is walking at a brisk pace, and the child is running along trying to keep up. So the mother is taking, so to speak, regular steps, and the child with his or her little feet is trying very quickly to keep up alongside the mother. So on the one hand, you could say, look how much movement, the child seems to be much swifter, much more energetic, much more empowered than the mother, but the truth is the child is really just struggling because, and there's a lot of movement, it looks very exciting, the kid's trying to keep up with mom or dad, but it's only because the adult has much bigger steps. Says the Kajitzer Magid, the same thing is true when it comes to our spiritual movements in this world. Sometimes we're moving what looks like very fast, very energetic. It looks like a lot is happening, but the truth is there could just be baby steps. And sometimes it looks like we're hardly moving at all, but it's because we're taking adult steps. What's the difference between less nuanced growth, growth that sometimes is loud, is energetic, is transformative, versus sometimes the more nuanced ways that we change in our relationship with Hashem? Kajitzer Magid writes in source number 4, let's take a look at the second paragraph. He says, Kazeh neva'er ha'inyin ba'adam. This question of the sherets on the one hand moving so quickly, on the other hand hardly getting anywhere. I mean, you find a little bug crawling on the floor, it could be moving very, very quickly, but if you take three big steps, you're way ahead of that little ant. So who's moving faster? Who has greater movement? Who's covering more ground? Says the Kajitzer Magid, an interesting thing. Sha'ani ba'atzmi pam'achas re'isi harivash zal b'chalom. I once saw the rivash in a dream. Who's the rivash? Rav Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. The holy Baal Shem Tov once appeared to me in a dream, and I asked him the following question. V'sha'alti oso. Mipnei ma b'tchilas avodasi. Why is it when I began my religious journey? And many people feel this way. Right? For those of us who are blessed to spend a year or more learning in Eretz Yisrael, in seminary, in yeshiva, that feeling of what? That feeling of something transformative happening in my life. Why is it that at the beginning of my avoda, kasher nechnasti al tzaddikim lilmod b'maaseihem, when I first started to learn by some of my great rabbeim and teachers, v'hergalti es atzmi l'avod Hashem yisparach, and I began that journey of serving Hashem with greater passion and greater zeal, hirgashti ba'atzmi shinoi letova miyom el yom. I felt like every day was a new world. Transformative. Big things happening. I felt the change taking place. V'nidma li, and then he says, be'etzek ha-Torah lishma, kavanas ha-tfila, shar masim. My learning, every time I learned something, I was wowed by it. My davening, I felt in a real way that it was improving. My actions, my midos, my mitzvos, my maisim tovim, it all felt so different. And he concludes the bolded section, va'ata eneni margish klal hashinoi. But now I don't feel that change. In fact, I feel, he writes, v'nidma li kamo yom etmol kein hayom b'kamo kein yom machar. Yesterday is the same as today, it will be the same as tomorrow. So the Baal Shem Tov explained to him in that dream, he answered him in the dream, and said it's the difference between a child learning Aleph Beis and an adult, a person who's more accustomed to studying Torah, learning on a deeper level. A kid comes home from school. Mommy, daddy, tati, abba, ima, I learned Aleph today. Wow, you learned a new letter. You learned Aleph. And the next day the kid comes home, it's a whole new world. Today we learned Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Every day is so exciting. Every day is a whole new thing. And then a person gets older, and you're already comfortable with the letters, and maybe you know the text of the Torah, and now you're understanding it more deeply. You're trying to understand it with greater depth. You're trying to understand the underpinnings of that machlokas in halacha. You're trying to understand with much greater depth. So says the Baal Shem Tov, it may not feel as transformative. You may not feel like you're covering as much ground. It's not a new world every day. It doesn't shake you in the same way. But you should know that you're learning with depth. You're taking adult steps as opposed to childish steps. And he concludes the piece by saying, this is such a profound insight. V'udavar chachma nifla. Understanding this is so fundamental. It's such an important way to assess, are we growing in our avodah Hashem? We find ourselves now between the days of Purim and Pesach. Purim and Pesach always have to be next to each other. It's a big question this year. When do we read the Megillah? We have two others. Should we celebrate the first other? Should we celebrate the second other? The Gemara in Megillah tells us in source number 5, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that we're supposed to celebrate the second other. And he quotes a pasuk, b'chol shana v'shana, each and every year. We always have Purim in the month right before Pesach. So too, if we have two others, we need to have Purim and Pesach next to each other. Why do we need them next to each other, says the Gemara, where it's bolded in source number 5? Mismach ge'ula le'ge'ula adif. Maybe you'll say we should have Purim as soon as we can, celebrate as quickly as we can. Ein ma'avir en ala mitzvos, don't turn down an opportunity to have a holiday. Nope. More important, mismach ge'ula le'ge'ula adif. Placing the ge'ula of Purim next to the ge'ula of Pesach is adif, is more important. Why is that more important? What is Purim? What is Pesach? And how do they work together? Why is it so important that the two ge'ulas have to be connected, have to be next to each other? Why do we need to go from other Sheni into the world of Pesach? Why is it that when we finish our Purim Suda, already starting to think, preparing ourselves 30 days before the Yom Tov of Pesach? Why do they have to be connected so deeply? So my wife shared with me a beautiful thing that she read. Purim is a Yom Tov that's filled with such chaos. The day itself, the Megillah, as we'll see in a few moments, is chaotic. Everything's happening in a wild way. The day of Purim, a person's trying to get here and trying to get there, trying to find, you know, I have to catch Megillah reading, I have to drop off a Shalach Manos. It can get very chaotic, Purim. The Suda itself sometimes can get a little bit crazy. Purim is a holiday of chaos. Pesach, on the other hand, is all about Seder. The highlight of Pesach, the celebration of Pesach, the night is all about order. And the truth is, Yetzias Mitzrayim was very orderly on a certain level. Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a roadmap. It was already etched into Moshe's staff. Tetzach, Adash, V'achav. There was a plan. And yet Purim and Pesach have to be next to each other. They have to go together because life exists in that balance between what? Between chaos and order. They have to go together. Because if your life is too orderly, it's going to be boring. It's going to lack creativity. It's going to crush your individuality. And if life is too chaotic, it's going to be anarchy. So Chazal, somehow the calendar was set up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his infinite wisdom, set things up in such a way that there has to be in my life a balance of chaos and order. There have to be the loud, crazy moments, so to speak, the Purim Dikah moments of my life. And then there have to be the Pesach, the orderly moments of my life. And who's to say which one is better? They're both called Geula, and they need to go together. Life exists in that balance of chaos and order. Let's look at the Megillah for a moment. Because it's almost ironic how they're interwoven with each other. Everything in the Megillah, maybe you've noticed, everything in the Megillah, even though it takes place, the story of Esther takes place over a very long period of time. It seems like, you know, it took place in a week. It took place over years, many, many years. But there's a feeling when you read the Megillah that everything is happening and unfolding very, very quickly. Just take a look at the Psukim, sources 6 through 9. V'nishlach svarim biyad haratzim. When the letters are being sent out, the couriers are called ratzim. They're running. Everyone's running to deliver the letters. Pasuk tesvav, haratzim yatzu dechufim. Everyone is hurried. Quickly, we got to get the message out. In Parakei, in source number 7, v'yomer hamelech maharu es haman. When Esther makes a request, I want to throw a party. Quickly, go get Haman, quickly. We got to get this party going right away. What's the rush? Source number 8, Vayomer HaMelech LaHaman. What should I do to the man who I desire to honor? And Haman gives a suggestion. Achashverosh says, great idea. Maher, kachas halavush. Quickly, get the clothing, get the horse. Do exactly what you suggested to Mordechai HaYehudi. And of course, Haman comes back after that day of leading Mordechai through the streets. Pasuk Yudalit, Oda Medabram Imo, Vesarse Amelech Higiu, Vayavhilu Lahavias Haman. And quickly, they're hurrying again to bring Haman to the second party. Where's everyone rushing? What's going on? And finally, when those letters are dispatched a second time, the Megillah tells us in source number 9 that they're sent by way of the Ratzim, who are delivering them, they're driving achashtaranim. They're traveling with achashtaranim. Rashi explains achashtaranim are a swift type of camel. So the couriers are called ratzim. The animal that they're using is known for their speed. And of course, yatsu mivuhalim, udechufim. Everything is just urgent and hasty and running. And that's kind of what Purim feels like sometimes to us. Purim happens very quickly. And yet, if you line up the parts of the Megillah, there's actually an unbelievable Seder. Right? The whole mystery of the Megillah is that each thing is sort of part of a master plan. And you start to see as you line up the pieces, as the halacha says, you have to read the Megillah from beginning to end. You can't read it out of order because you need to see how the puzzle pieces snap into place so perfectly. It's so chaotic. And yet in some secret way, it's so orderly. What about Pesach? We said Pesach is the holiday of Seder. We spend a lot of time, we clean our homes, we prepare our lives, we prepare our kitchen, we make sure we have the right kosher products, everything is misudar. Again, the makos by which we left Mitzrayim, very orderly, the steps of the Seder. Kadesh, Orchas, Karpas, everything is very misudar. And yet, while Seder is supposed to represent this order, this Pesach order, there's something a little bit crazy about how we left Mitzrayim also. It always catches my attention. It's so interesting. We were in Mitzrayim for 210 years of slavery. The Torah talks in some places about 400 years of exile, 430 years of exile. And then all of a sudden, after all of this delicate planning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of a sudden we're racing out of Mitzrayim at the last second. Like, what's the big rush? We've been here for 210 years. Where are we running to all of a sudden? That we have to leave Mitzrayim b'chipa zon. It's such a strange thing. This strange merger of order and chaos. Says the pasuk in source number 10 in Parshas Bo. Vayihi miketz shloshim shana va'arba me'os shana. It was at the end of 430 years. Hashem was in no rush to get this process over with, apparently. And then all of a sudden, vayihi be'etzem hayom hazeh, yatu kol tzivos Hashem e'aretz Yitzrayim. Suddenly on that very day, says the pasuk, the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, explains Rashi in source number 11. Magid, this teaches us, shekevan shehigia haketz, lo ikvan hamakom keharifayin. When the time comes, when the ketz arrives, when the time for geula arrives, Hashem doesn't even delay keharifayin, like the blink of an eye. If the time is now, it has to happen right now. But we've been waiting 430 years. We've been waiting 210 years. What's the rush? And the question that we ask ourselves in Avodas Hashem is, so what should my spiritual experience look like? Should it always be energetic? Should it be chaotic? Should I always be trying to find new ways to connect, to make sure that I'm always having that, you know, that feeling, that high, that spiritual energy pulsating through my veins? Or maybe not. Maybe the way things are supposed to be is very orderly, very misudar, very plain. Maybe that's a sign of spiritual depth and maturity. What's it supposed to look like? Says the Medrash in source number 12, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael, Hashem says to the Jewish people, Ba'olam hazeh, in this world, I know you've been waiting 2,000 years for another Beis HaMikdash, Atem mechal in esu'umos kima kima. Hashem says, I will obliterate the evil of this world, little by little, step by step, la'at la'at, nice and slow. Vila asid lavo, but in the future, Ani mevaran mina olam babasachas. But when it's time to finish things up, I can finish the whole thing up in 1 second. So again, we ask Hashem, so what is my life supposed to look like? Are there supposed to be moments in my life of complete sudden transformation? Is that healthy? Is that normal? Does that mean that I'm alive in my Yiddishkeit? Or should I be a person who goes slowly, slowly through life? I was talking to someone this week. A fellow called me, he said, Rabbi, I'm starting to date. I said, okay, lovely. Best of luck to you. I said, what type of person are you looking for? So he described certain things. And one of the things he said to me, he said, I don't want to marry a girl who flipped out in Israel. So he said to me. I said, okay. So what do you mean by that? He said, I don't know. I want someone who said, I feel that my spiritual progression has been very, very much step by step by step. And I would want to marry someone who kind of had that experience. And yet we come to the text and we see that Hashem is apparently into both. Hashem sometimes is making things happen in a way that's kind of sudden and kind of shocking and kind of, you know, this upheaval. And yet there's also a master plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is playing out. So who's right? What's the better way to get close to Hashem. What's the right way to leave Mitzrayim, to leave whatever gullus we find ourselves in? How many times does the Pesach Seder and the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, how many times is it described in the Torah in sources 13, 14, 15, b'chipazon yatzu mimitzrayim? We left Mitzrayim in a hurry. So a person who undergoes a sudden spiritual transformation, are they fake? Is it not real? Are they not stable? Hashem seems to be into that. Hashem seems to support that. And yet the Navi Yeshaya tells us in source 16, ki lo b'chipazon teitzeu. When it comes to your redemption down the road after Mitzrayim, it's not going to be b'chipazon. U'v'menusa lo se leichun. Ibn Ezra explains, kasher yatzasami Mitzrayim. It's not going to be like Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I ask you, after seeing all these sources, what's the right way? What's the proper way? Which way is the better way? And again, of course, part of the answer is that there is no better way per se. You need Purim, you need the chaos of Purim, you need the stability of Pesach. And if you study it deeply, you'll notice that within the chaos of Purim, there's tremendous order. And within the stability of Pesach, there's tremendous chaos. And that's part of the balance that we have to have in our relationship with Hashem. I want to learn together a passage from the Sefer Madregas HaAdam. Madregas HaAdam is written by the Altar of Navardik. This is source 18. I want to learn this passage together slowly and properly. It's heavy. Navardik, the style of Musar in Navardik. We're talking about a student of Rabbi Saul Salanter, one of the early founders of the Musar movement, the Altar of Navardik himself. We're talking about an individual who underwent a radical personal transformation in his life. If you read his story, we're talking about a person who was a businessman, a religious person, a motivated person, an inspired person, who sort of woke up one day and decided that his life wasn't frum enough. It wasn't religious enough. It wasn't serious enough. And he closeted himself away, I kid you not, for a year and a half from the world, living essentially in total isolation to work on himself, like a real Baal Musar would. And his language and his approach sometimes is very intense. You know, you talk about the two great yeshivas of Slobodka and Navardik. In Slobodka, it was all about building up a person, Godless HaAdam, the grandeur of a person. In Slobodka, the yeshiva bachim dressed very properly. They wore fine European dress. It was part of the approach of the Altar of Slobodka. If you carry yourself like a distinguished person, you'll live a holy and dignified life. Navardik was the opposite. Navardik was about Shiflis HaAdam. Know how lowly of a creature you are. Obviously, that derech was less popular than Slobodka. You know, they say, I don't know if it's an apocryphal tale or a true story, they say a bachar came to the Navardik yeshiva, and immediately he started, you know, trying to adapt the ways of Navardik, and he was seen in the Beis Medrash. He was pacing back and forth, talking to himself, saying, you're nothing, and you're a nobody, right? And you're worthless. And one of the older fellows in Navardik came over to him and said, this is like your first day in yeshiva. Like, it takes time to become a nothing, you know? Like, you can't just declare yourself a nobody on day one in Navardik. It's like, it takes years of hard work to get there. Anyways, the Altar of Navardik wrote an amazing sefer called Madregas HaAdam. And it's scathing, it hurts. Some of it's very harsh. And, you know, it's not a sefer necessarily that I feel deeply connected to on a personal level. But it's emes, it's fiery emes. There's tremendous truth in it. And I want to give you this mashal, especially in the context as we prepare for Pesach, Haba Aleinu Letova, this mashal, it's hard to look away and to deny a certain truthfulness to the example that he gives. So let's read together in source 18. He says, if we study it well, in the Stakel Hetev Bedaver Nira, this is in a section, a mimer called Darche HaTshuva. If we study this topic well and honestly, Ki Gam HaMetzias HuKein, will notice that the truth is such, SheBeMetzias Yochol HaAdam LaHachlif Atzmo Berega Echad. We could spend the next 5 hours debating this topic. He says it's within a person's ability, lahachlif atzmo, to transform oneself, to change oneself, berega echad, in a single moment. Do we believe that? Is it possible to change myself, to change any part of myself? Let's say a person is a smoker, God forbid. So they decide they don't want to smoke anymore. A person struggles with an alcohol addiction. They decide they don't want to be an alcoholic anymore. Is there a moment where they decide that that's going to happen, or is it a gradual process? What's more realistic? What works? Says the Altar of Navardik, you'll see the truth of the matter is that a person can change himself or herself in a single moment. V'lo sha yecholes hazo, hidavar ma'ala ba'adam. And I'm not suggesting, he says, that this is only for unique individuals. He says, essentially, for any person who really cares and wants to change a particular part of oneself, we can do it in a second. There's a part of us that doesn't really believe this. I'm not just talking about the most pious of pious people. It's available to anyone who wants it in a real way. And he writes, because if you're not able to change in that defining moment, lo yischalef la'olam. These are harsh words. Then maybe it'll never change. Because the Alter of the Vardik says, what's going to make tomorrow different? I want to stop speaking Lashon Hara. I really do. I don't want to do that anymore, a person says. Right? So when am I going to do that? I don't, I'm working on it. There has to come a point where I say, I don't do that anymore. A person has to make a choice and say, you know what? From this day forward, and again, it takes tremendous strength to do that. But the Alter of the Vardik says, if you're not going to do it, you know, kind of like Chazal, im lo achshav emasai, if not now, when? I'll start tomorrow. I'll start next week. When I have more time. When life is less busy. When I'm less burdened. Says the Alter of the Vardik. Ki mipnei ma lo yischalif baharega. Why are you not prepared to do it now? If it's a value of yours, if you know this behavior is bad or this behavior is good, so why can't I adopt that good behavior right now? Why am I saying, in 5 years from now, I'll do it? I think about this all the time when I think about making Aliyah, moving to Eretz Yisrael. Right? So, you know, people talk, we have a plan, we think about it, we talk about it. But on a certain level, like if that's what I want to do, so I got to do it. I want to learn more Torah. So if I want to learn more Torah, so sit down and learn more Torah. When do I plan to do that? I want to work on my tefillah. There's a certain midah that I'm trying to work on. So when am I going to do that? When's the right time to do that, says the Alter of Navardik? And maybe, if you haven't done it, maybe it's because you don't actually want to change your way. Because if now's not the right time, if this is something I believe in, if now's not the right time, what makes me think that in the minute from now, or in a day from now, or in a year from now, it's going to be the right time? It's harsh. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the time in your life when you're freed from all of the responsibilities, the burdens, the distractions of life? My friends, is there ever going to be a time in our life where we're entirely freed from responsibilities, burdens, and distractions of life? It's a dream. It's not true. It doesn't happen. It's not how life goes. If you're waiting for that moment when everything is just calm and it's easy, that's just not how life goes. Because there's no end to new responsibilities and new distractions and new challenges. V'nimtza, and he writes, again, these are harsh words, V'nimtza sha'af im yichya shnos misushalech lo yischalif. Even if you lived as long as the longest living person in Tanakh, even if you lived over 900 years, you're not going to change. Because what's going to make 500 years from now more appropriate than now? Now, part of us wants to respond to that and say, but maybe it will be a more appropriate time. Maybe I have my roadmap. Maybe I have my game plan. Hashem had his game plan. If Hashem didn't bring the... We could throw the Madrega Saladin right back at God. Hashem, if you didn't bring the Beis HaMikdash until now, what makes me think you're ever going to bring it? What makes you think you're ever going to bring Mashiach? If this isn't good enough to bring Mashiach, what makes us imagine there'll ever be a right time? So we believe in planning, we believe in having a gradual transition and growth and transformation. But he says, why? What are you waiting for? And then he gives the following mashal, which I think is a very powerful mashal. He writes in the next paragraph, Hari hadavar dome lemi sheyesh lo mitbach trefa. Imagine a person who doesn't keep a kosher kitchen. And decides, you know what? I want to start doing the kosher thing. It's time for me to keep a kosher kitchen. Verote lashu v'lasoso kosher. I want to make my kitchen kosher. So imagine the person says to himself or herself, Yomar halo eich ashuv berega echad lishaber es kol hakelim. Do you know how much money has been put into this kitchen already? You know how many dishes? You know how many things I own already? You expect me now to what? To throw everything out? And to buy a whole new set of everything? You know how expensive that is to buy a whole new set of dishes? That would be a tremendous financial burden. So the person says, I have an idea. I'll throw away one non-kosher plate and I'll replace it with one new plate. And then in a few months from now, I'll add another new plate and another new plate. What a great idea. What's the problem? Says the Altar of Navardik, four lines from the end. Halo l'shote yechashev. That's utter foolishness. Why? Because you can't kosher a kitchen one dish at a time. Because as soon as you bring in that new kosher dish, and it gets mixed in with everything else, it's going to become treif again. So either it's all or nothing. And the Altar of Navardik says that on a certain level, on a certain spiritual level, that has to be our lives. Either I'm in or I'm out. Either we're doing this or we're not doing this. And at the same time, every one of us has seen and met, and perhaps even been personally inspired by, a Chabadnik standing on a street corner, saying to a person, I'm not asking you to change your whole life. All I'm asking you is to put on tefillin for 30 seconds. Ma'am, are you Jewish? Oh, you're Jewish? Here, take these candles and light them tonight, Friday night, in honor of Shabbos. She says, I don't keep Shabbos. That's okay. You can still light the candles and then go about your business. You can still go out to movies and a treif restaurant with your friends. Right? And somehow that gradual process actually leads to what? To koshering some people's lives. So who's right? You have to kosher the whole kitchen at once? You have to decide I'm all in on a particular area of Avodas Hashem that I'm working on? That sudden transformation on the one hand, b'chipazon yatzu mimitzrayim. At the same time, everything has to take place within a context of Seder. You know, Shlomo Freifeld was once... He was once in Eretz Yisrael, and he saw a couple of yeshiva bachim who were making fun of Israeli soldiers. These yeshiva bachim, they were learning in yeshiva, they thought they were so religious, and they were poking fun at these irreligious Israeli soldiers, who were noticeably irreligious. And Rabbi Freifeld went over to him and said, you better be very, very careful. Don't ever look down at a Jew who's irreligious, because a person could become religious like that. The Jewish people were suddenly transformed from being lowly slaves in Mitzrayim to being God's chosen people. So don't think these guys, oh, you're so far ahead of them spiritually. In a second, they could catch up to you. Transformation could take place in a second. So my friends, who's right? Which way is more correct? So I think, if we can capture the whole shir in four lines, it's source 19. It's Ratzadik HaKohen of Lublin in his opening passage of his famous work, Tzidkas HaTzadik, and he says it so beautifully, and I think this is how we have to approach the Yom Tov of Pesach. This is that bridge between the world of Purim and Pesach, and this is sort of the secret of our parsha, the Sheretz, which on the one hand is creeping and crawling and trying to get somewhere and hardly moving because it's this tiny creature with tiny little legs, and at the same time it's moving so fast. So is it moving or is it not moving? And which way is better, the child who's running to keep up with the mom or the mother who's taking the big steps? When does the real spiritual transformation take place? Is it in the loud, energetic moments of my life? Or maybe in the quiet moments where I open my siddur and I'm not feeling it so strong. And I'm trying to learn a little bit every day and I'm not feeling that the Torah is changing me. It's not making such a radical difference in my life. Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, of course, as we've said many times, the answer is that they're both true. There's a time and a place. And by the way, this recipe that we're about to read, it doesn't have to be your recipe. But this is certainly a recipe for spiritual success. And I think for many people, this is the recipe from our own personal experience. Rav Tzadok writes, "Reishis knisas ha'odom la'avodas Hashem, tzarech lios b'chipas." The entrance into avodas Hashem, the starting point, if I want to catch my own attention, if I want my Judaism to be what? To be transformative, it has to have sort of that sudden moment that the Altar of Navardik is describing. It has to be b'chipazon. There has to be something wild. There has to be something big. There has to be something swift. And even though it doesn't seem 100% stable, and maybe it's not 100% stable. I know people who I went to yeshiva with 20-some years ago in Eretz Yisrael, who, again, got very into it very quickly, and also got very out of it very quickly when they left yeshiva. I personally always tried to grow more slowly. But there are people who also were able to make those sudden transformations and are able to live very holy lives, very inspired lives. So which is it? Says Rav Tzadok, certainly on a certain level, the starting point of a person's avodas Hashem needs to be with tremendous chipazon, with tremendous energy, with a sense of swiftness. In haste. It's an emergency. Kamo shematzinu bepesach Mitzrayim. The same way we experienced the original Karban Pesach. Shaya necho bechipazum. That it was eaten with great haste. We had our shoes on our feet, our backpacks packed, our walking sticks in our hand. Eating the Karban Pesach quickly as we raced out of Mitzrayim. Velo Pesach Doros. But that's not the halacha. Every other Karban Pesach eaten in Jewish history, there's no rush. Well, there's a little bit of rush. We have to finish by Chatzos, but there's no major rush. There's no major rush. So you ask, so which is it, God? Hashem, which is it? If fast is the way to do it, so we should always eat it fast. If slow is the way to do it, we should have eaten it slow that first Pesach also in Mitzrayim. The answer is, when you start off, if I want to make a real change in my life, sometimes I have to do something which is a little bit dramatic, which is a little bit radical. Because to be able to detach myself from my current routine, if I want to make a real change in my life, that I become attached to Makusha Bahem, I need to capture the moment. That moment of inspiration, I have to make a decision. The way the Alter in the Vardik is saying, seize that moment. It's possible for a person to undergo some type of transformation in a moment. We have to grab onto that. But then, says Rav Tzadok in the last line, V'achar kaf shuv yeleich b'mesinas ula'at k'din Pesach Doros. But then I have to mature, and I have to learn to appreciate nuanced transformation. I have to be prepared to grow slowly, and to understand that if I open my sitter day after day after day, and I'm not feeling it like I once felt it, or if I think of a particular Shabbos that was transformative, so why can't I feel that all the time? The answer is because it's not realistic. Because our lives are somewhere between the two geulas of Purim and Pesach, between chaos and order. And therefore, when we left Mitzrayim, yes, it was b'chipazon. But the Karban Pesach for all generations, it doesn't have to be that way. And nothing's broken with your spiritual growth if you're not feeling that transformation day in and day out. I want to end with one lesson of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Jewish people found themselves, when they left Mitzrayim, wandering for a long time, kind of trapped in between. That's sort of these days between Purim and Pesach. Maybe it's these days between the second Beis HaMikdash and Mashiach, b'mehirah b'yameinu. We're kind of wandering. We're kind of trying to find our place. And you kind of wonder, what's the significance of that wandering? Getting out of Mitzrayim is great. Getting to Eretz Yisrael is great. What about all of that wandering in the middle? Says the Pasuk in the second to last source in Parshas Maaseh, Vayichtav Moshe es motzeayim l'maseayim al pi Hashem, ve'eila maseayim l'motzeayim. Moshe, the great leader of the Jewish people, recorded the journeys, the travels, the wandering, all the stops that the Jewish people camped out in the Midbar. And we wonder, why does the Torah need to record all of that? But the secret is, it's al pi Hashem. You ask yourself, when I move about, am I moving from something, or am I moving towards something? I'll give you one quick example. Yaakov Avinu leaves his home. The first pasuk in Parshas Vayetze. Vayetze Yaakov mi be'er shava, vayelech charana. Notice the two verbs. Vayetze, he's leaving, vayelech, and he's going. What's he leaving? His mother and father gave him two different mitzvos. He was given a mitzvah to run away from Esav. That's his vayetze. He was also given a mitzvah of vayelech. Go find yourself a shidduch. So the Beis HaLevi points out that Yaakov Avinu was mindful. I'm achieving something with leaving, and I'm achieving something with where I'm going to. But I'm asking, what about all the middle? What about all those moments where you're kind of just wandering? Says the Holy Ragachover of Yosef Rosen, one of the great minds of the 20th century, really the 19th century, the 20th century, the Tzofnas Paneach on Chumash. The Holy Ragachover of Yosef Rosen writes so beautifully, Ratzalomar, Dechol mitzius halicha min makom lamakom. When a person moves from place to place, and again, a movement could be a spiritual movement, not a physical movement. We have to ask ourselves, I ikar hakavana bia lamakom, is it about where I'm trying to get to, where I'm trying to enter into? Bia lamakom sheni, where am I trying to arrive? O yitzia mikan, or is it the thing that I'm trying to get away from? Is it the aver that I'm trying to detach from? Or is it the mitzvah or the positive character trait that I'm trying to attach to? But Moshe Rabbeinu lets us in on a secret. V'chan hava ha-mitzvah gam etzem ha-alicha. But Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down, he made into Torah, all of the wandering as well. Not the moment of leaving Mitzrayim, not the moment of arriving in Eretz Yisrael, but all the middle. All of those moments that you wonder, am I actually getting anywhere? Am I progressing? Is this called movement? And Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down and he said, yes, there's a mitzvah of the halicha itself. When you bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, there's four stages. You shech the animal, you receive the blood, then there's a stage called holacha, carrying the blood to the Mizbeach, and then you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. So you have to wonder, holacha, that's a stage, that's like a step in the carbon? You have to have the right kavanas when you do holacha. Holacha is just getting it from point A to point B. Why is that called one of the four essential steps in offering a carbon? And the answer is because the process is also meaningful. It's important. Getting from point A to point B is important. V'chein ha-makomos sheba'emtza derech ha-vegam kei mitzvah. Says the Ragach of Moshe Rabbeinu, who wrote them down, he made them into Torah. He solidified that the movements that seem to get us nowhere are also something. Ki kol davar afshu achrechi lichora, hakol bekavana mechuvan u'mitzvah al pi Hashem. Even those moments that just seem to be necessary bridges between A and B, between where I'm coming from and where I'm going to, it's also a mitzvah. It's also part of the spiritual growth of a person. We come to the Seder night, the most exalted night of the year, and we get blasted with this aura, this holy light. And then we spend the next 7 weeks of Siras HaOmer reviewing it step by step by step. So in answer to our question, what's the right way? And the conversation I had with this fellow in my office this week, when he was feeling so frustrated that he doesn't feel it the same way he once felt it, I think the answer is we need both in life. We need those defining moments. We need those moments, again, these Navardic type of moments. These moments where Pesach is a lashon of leaping, where we jump out of Mitzrayim. But then we also have to have the confidence and the trust in the process to slow down and to realize that the little efforts that I make, step by step by step, even if I don't feel it in some type of external way, if it doesn't have the chaos of Purim, and it seems a little bit too rigid at times, almost like the Seder of Pesach, to realize that it's that healthy balance that helps us to achieve our own personal geula. So we should all be zochin these days between geula and geula to strike that proper balance between the world of chaos and the world of order, and be zochin to experience our personal redemption and our collective redemption. Thanks for being here. Have a great day. Thank you so much.